The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
So here's the announcement. It's a major announcement. I was just talking to Raj during the break, and it turns out that I have the most all-time points in our DraftKings league. Where's the applause track, Raj? Where's the yay? I am the draft king. Raj is in a distant second.
It's not distant. That makes me the draft queen. I can be the second.
You're the draft queen. I'll be the
prince. Yeah, that or the prince. And then, either way.
No, queen. The queen is good. And I'm the king. Now, how does the rest of our league shake out?
Third place would be Steve Mace. Remember a couple years he was on a good run?
He was on a good run for a couple years. Mace is in third. That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And shockingly, even though Bill Wolf, Knicks, and the great Ben Lyons has been in the league all the way through.
Nick Tutz, Bill Wolf, Ben Lyons, yeah.
Yes. Marcellus Wiley is still in fourth place, even though he's retired for about 2 years. And
oh,
he was horrible
God.
When he did play.
Nick and Bill and Ben ought to be ashamed of themselves. Marcellus is no good when he played, and he's been out of the league for 2 years.
Yeah. Awful.
Well, the headline is that people should take away is, I am the draft king. Yay for Max. Now, let me just say that I want you to listen to Steven Silas, Rockets head coach, about James Harden and whether he's heard from Harden and where Harden stands with the Rockets. Listen to Coach Silas.
I haven't spoken to him since the trade. And to be honest with you, when stuff like this kind of happens, where there's a little indecision and stuff going on, I kind of take a step back and allow guys some space. So from my perspective, my communication has been, I'm giving you space. And that's kind of where it's been as far as my communication with him. You know, guys like that need that. They need to figure it out. They don't need someone banging on them all the time to kind of figure out where they're at. And as far as the organization, I'm not sure. I can only speak for myself, but you know, I'm looking forward to him coming, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the team looks like. I'm looking forward to the whole group being on the floor together.
Oh, Harden will have space away from Houston, because there's a lot of space between Houston and Brooklyn, or Houston and Philadelphia, or Houston and wherever Harden's going, because Harden's out of there. Are you kidding? Listen, here's the thing. Just keep this in mind, everybody, thinking about the Rockets situation, okay? James Harden never had a team that should have competed with the Warriors. Never. Never. Not once the Warriors got KD. Who do you have? Chris Paul and Trevor Ariza and a couple guys? Get out of here. The Warriors had 73 wins and then added Kevin Durant, and they were so overwhelming that LeBron used to look at them with Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving and be like, "And nothing I could do with these dudes. Too many of them. They're too good." And he was right. Not a knock against LeBron. It's a credit to LeBron that the Warriors and KD looked at each other and said, "Let's link up, because otherwise we can't get by the king," right? But once they did, you just stacked it. Like, even Michael Jordan, like, if the Monstars really got together, right, they could have beat, like, if it was Olajuwon and everyone else, you know, and Ewing and Robinson, you know, and Barkley and Malone and Stockton. And I like, eventually you're like, okay, they just got too many guys. That's what it was like with the Warriors. How was it that the Rockets were able to take them to a Game 7 at Houston? A fully loaded Warriors team. They had everybody. How'd they do that? No Chris Paul in Game 7. They went 0 for 27 at one point from 3, the Rockets did, without Chris Paul. And yet they only lost by single digits to the KD, Steph, Clay, and Dre Warriors? Is that because Harden was so great? Actually, no, he didn't play well that game. No, what it was Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni had the guts to say, we're going to play the most efficient brand of basketball ever. We're only taking the most efficient shots. It's not going to be pretty. People are going to criticize us. We don't care. We're going to do it this way. So they got close. They got much closer. The Rockets were not the second most talented team even. But they almost beat the Warriors. They probably should have. With Chris Paul, I think they would have beaten the Warriors, even without Chris Paul. If they just, instead of going 0 for 27 during that stretch, go 4 for 27. You win the game. They only lost by 9. Daryl Morey's gone. Mike D'Antoni's gone. And now Westbrook has been traded for John Wall. Now, you got a first-round pick in the deal, but it's lottery-protected, and the pick isn't going to be picked until, what is it, 2023? The Rockets are not going to be a factor. Harden's got to get out of there. He's 32 years old. He's in his prime. He's an all-time great. He has choked consistently in the big moments, but less and less over time. My impression from James Harden this past postseason is he could have been better, but he could have been a lot worse. Every postseason, I feel like he's taking steps closer and closer. And his prime is fleeting. I mean, LeBron James is the most severe outlier of all time that way. How many more years does James Harden have as a truly great superstar? Don't waste them in Houston on a team. Don't tell me, well, John Wall, you could be competitive. Do you know how gangster it is to win a championship? Steph and Clay and Dre and Iguodala couldn't do it. They needed to add Kevin Durant. Now, they did win a championship. Yeah, because LeBron played without Kyrie or Kevin Love. But even think about that. Kevin Love was going for like 25, 12, and whatever it was in Minnesota as the best player on a 500 team in a very tough Western Conference. He had to join with Kyrie and LeBron to get a championship. By the skin of their teeth, by the way. It is ridiculously hard in the NBA to win a championship. And James Harden and John Wall, especially absent a philosophy like the one Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni brought to that team, are not going to come close to sniffing one. Harden's got to get out. Connor in Kansas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, I think we need to pump the brakes on Deshaun Watson and Justin Herbert. You got to think about this. Watson's playing for probably in front of the worst offensive line in football, and their defense is very meh in a terrible front office.
So and how is Herbert, right, so that's to his credit, Connor, that he's doing this.
Yeah, and they're going to go third in their division and not make the playoffs.
But let's just talk. Let's isolate quarterback play as much as we can. You're giving Watson extra credit. And in terms of pumping the brakes on Herbert, I will do no such thing. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hit the gas on Herbert. And if one day I change my mind, just like this, I'm going to say, whoops, I was wrong about Herbert. That's all. And on to the next guy. But right now, this is how I'm feeling about Herbert. I look at him and I think, damn, that dude is differently talented. I think that Mahomes is he and Rodgers, talent-wise, are in a class by themselves. And then Deshaun Watson is the next, Russell Wilson is after those two. And then Deshaun Watson, at least in the AFC, is the next best quarterback in the AFC to Patrick Mahomes. And I think has the second brightest future. But Deshaun Watson's more of a finished product than Justin Herbert. He's been in the league much longer. When I look at Justin Herbert, I go, damn, this kid is already that good. And he has a bad head coach. Ugh, I don't know. I'm not saying I'm taking Herbert, damn it, for sure. I'm saying that's the question for me. Deshaun Watson versus Justin Herbert. And if I'm wrong about Herbert and it looks like, oh, I overrated him, big deal. I don't care. That's what I think right now. I thought the same thing about Mahomes early. I was right about him. And a lot of people were saying the same thing about various players, including like Lamar Jackson. And either you're right or you're wrong about it. But, you know, the evidence will tell you. But this is the way I'm feeling when I eyeball these guys right now. News from Max Kellerman Nation. Connor just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper calling line telling me to pump the brakes on Deshaun Watson because his team isn't good. Nevertheless, Deshaun Watson succeeds. And Justin Herbert, because he hasn't done it yet. Nevertheless, I see what I see. Now Michael Thompson joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Michael, are you there?
How in the home of where the devil lives, you can just forget about Lamar Jackson?
Who?
That's right. You know, Lamar Jackson isn't having a bad year. The people having a bad year are his play callers. Basically, Max, he's not running like he was last year. It would be like telling Steph Curry or Clay to stop shooting so much. They've taken away like half of his game, which are his legs.
Michael?
Attempts are way down.
Michael, in the playoffs, the other team takes away his game. And against the Chiefs, the other team, he has failed in his biggest moments. You know, let me tell you, I'm not just talking about losing to good teams. I'm not talking about Bill Belichick scheming in a way to beat you or, you know, having COVID. Who knows when he got it, right? And maybe it was, you know, just like with Cam, maybe it was affecting him before we realized. And never mind all that. You have got to beat the Steelers, which he hasn't done when the Steelers had Roethlisberger. You have got to beat the Chiefs if you're in the AFC. He's lost all three games he's played against the Chiefs. And you have got to win in the playoffs. And not only did he not win in the playoffs, he looked awful in his first game. And then he lost to the Titans in his next game in the playoffs. So you know, Lamar's got to show me, and I'm not saying he can't. I'm saying he hasn't shown me yet that he can be the best version of himself in the must-win kind of games. Deshaun Watson, on the other hand, Michael, Deshaun Watson's got it. You know, Deshaun Watson's one of those dudes who's going to elevate a team beyond what they should be. Do you disagree?
No, I like Deshaun Watson. He's a stud, no question about it. But Lamar's taking his team to the playoffs twice. Yeah, you're right. He's got to beat the key teams like Kansas City and Pittsburgh and Tennessee when the chips are there to be pulled to the center of the table. No question about that. He has yet to do that. But my goodness, the man made history last year. He's having a down year this year. He's 23 freaking years old, Max. He's acting like he's 33.
I understand you understand about championships. You were the first overall draft pick in the NBA. You averaged 20-12. Then you got traded to the Lakers. You won two championships. You're a team player. All three of your sons achieved in sports on the highest professional levels, including Klay Thompson, who looks like he's in the middle of a Hall of Fame career. So I'm not saying you don't understand about championships and what it takes. However, I will remind you, I used to put MLB 2005 MVP in franchise mode, and I would simulate it against the computer, and I won back-to-back World Series back in 05. That's all I'm going to tell you. So I think we both have experience with championships, Michael.
And speaking of championships, yeah. Will you quit calling AD a one-time champion? AD's won three championships. Will you quit? Remember that. He's won in college, he's won at the World Cup level, and he's won the Olympic championship. Back to my
NBA.
Four-time champion now.
Michael, we're talking about NBA. Come on, stop it with all that.
So what?
NBA.
But
NBA.
He's still a champion.
NBA.
But then say that. Say he won his first NBA championship. Don't say he won his first championship.
Before we get on, because you're a boxing fan, what are you expecting from Spence and Garcia on Saturday night? Errol Spence, Garcia.
Max, boy, I can't wait. I'm so nervous about this fight because I like both fighters, but I'm a huge Errol Spence fan. You know me. I've been telling you for the longest, he's the best welterweight, not Terrence Crawford, before the car accident. But now, unlike you and everybody else, we want to see if this car accident affected him and how he's going to respond when he catches one of Danny Garcia's powerful left hooks. Will he be able to shake it off, or will the effects from that accident take over? Because we saw the last fight he was in was a war against Sean Porter. Will he be able to beat that Errol Spence again? So that's what everybody's waiting to see. And
I don't think Spence beats Garcia if he's not back to himself. Like, Danny Garcia gave Keith Thurman all he could handle. That fight was very close, split decision. And Sean Porter beat Danny Garcia, I thought, clean. But Sean Porter almost beat Errol Spence. Like at this level, at the top levels of a very deep and excellent division, Errol Spence can't afford to go in as 80% of himself, I don't think. I mean, Mikey Garcia was different. He's really a much smaller guy moving up. Danny Garcia's been at welterweight for a hot minute. This is an excellent matchup, and we will find out about Errol Spence for sure. Did you have any doubt ever that AD would re-sign with the Lakers?
No, none whatsoever. He and LeBron have a good rapport, great camaraderie. He loves being in L.A., so that was a no-brainer. He was just waiting out the time, but was never in doubt that he was going to finish out his career as a Laker. And he will finish here as a Laker when he's in his late 30s.
How many rings do you expect him to get with the Lakers, Michael?
Well, he's got his first. I expect him, like you said, they're going to win it again this year. God forbid anybody gets hurt. That's around the league. But they're the best team on paper right now. And hands down, I think they're the best. So he'll win a second this year. I think they can three-peat, like you said, the other day on First Take. So that would be three. When LeBron retires, he's going to be such a major attraction for other stars to come play with. I could see AD ending up with five by the time he retires.
Well, if he wins five, he'll be in the conversation with Tim Duncan for greatest power forward of all time.
He's the most talented power forward ever.
Right.
He's kind of a combination between Tim Duncan and Rasheed Wallace. And nobody else has had that kind of combination. AD has no weakness in his game. None.
Yeah. Well, and defensively, like Kevin Garnett, in the sense that he can be extremely disruptive in the pick and roll, too.
Oh, yeah. He can do it. He moves his feet. I mean, he used to be a point guard when he was a kid in high school growing up. So he's always been blessed. He brought those quick feet with him as he started to grow.
Now, if he gets to five and he's maybe considered the greatest power forward ever, I look at the Lakers 1 through 5, Michael. The greatest point guard of all time is who?
Magic.
Laker. The one of the two greatest shooting guards of all time is who? There's Michael Jordan and
Kobe.
That's two for two, right? We have like either the greatest or arguably the greatest ever at a position. At the three, right. Who's the greatest small forward who ever lived?
Come on, that's easy. LeBron.
That's three for three. At the five, well, look, it's close. But I would argue, like, because Bill Russell was great and Hakeem was great. But who's the greatest center who ever lived?
Kareem, hands down.
All Lakers. How about in the modern era? Who is the most unstoppable center? Recently, in the last 20 years.
Obviously Shaq. When Shaq was motivated, there's nothing you can do about him. Yeah, Shaq.
Nothing you can do about it. And he was the new generation's Wilt, who was also on the Lakers. Do you understand? If Anthony Davis winds up with multiple rings and is in the conversation for greatest power forward, the Lakers have that 1 through 5. Either they got it or very close to it. It is unbelievable what's going on with the Lakers right now.
Yeah, it's an historic franchise. Had the greatest owner ever in the history of sports, I believe, in Dr.
Right,
Buck.
By far.
No other owner compares to him. So it's playing in arguably the greatest sports city in the world. I mean, the Lakers have it all.
What if LeBron James wins a championship this year? And then 2 years from now, at an obscenely advanced age. I mean, Kareem was in college 4 years, couldn't play as a freshman back then. Those were the rules. So he won 3 championships, lost 2 games the entire time. Greatest college player ever, by far. And then he wins 6 titles as a pro. But maybe partly because of the mileage and because of nutrition, whatever, back then. Kareem, by the time he was LeBron's age, or by the time he had played as many years in the NBA as LeBron had, was no longer an MVP caliber player. What if LeBron goes back to back, and now we're looking at a three-peat 2 years from now? That would be 6 rings. He'd have the greatest career value. Would he eclipse Michael Jordan or whoever you have? Because you're one of these cranky old timers who doesn't want to just admit that Jordan's the greatest. Would LeBron be considered the GOAT to you if he three-peats and gets 6 rings?
Well, Max, obviously he'll be very tapping Jordan on the shoulder to shoulder with Jordan, talking about the greatest. He would deserve to be in that conversation. If he ends up with 6 championships, you got to say he's seriously in that conversation. But when Michael won his 6, you know, he was 6-0. He probably could have won 8 if he hadn't retired. But, yeah, if you want to put LeBron there after he gets to his 6th ring, I mean, you're not crazy. I wouldn't think you're crazy for saying that. So I couldn't say you were nuts. He deserves to be mentioned.
Yep, he deserves to be mentioned, but Jordan will still be the GOAT. Well, I mean, look, career-wise, it's Kareem. And LeBron will have passed Kareem at that point. And peak, it's Jordan. But you could argue LeBron only because, you know, LeBron's peak was close enough, and he did it for 20 years. The great Michael Thompson, ladies and gentlemen.
Max, the podcast.
And now, another segment Max and Raj created that everyone's stealing, the NFL Whip Around.
We didn't have the imaging ready.
Browns at Titans.
Good job, Spencer.
Okay, Browns at Titans. I like Tennessee in this game. You know, a lot of people are talking about like the, and there's an article, I'm trying to remember who had it up on ESPN.com. I suggest you check it out. And they're talking about how, look, Chubb and Kareem Hunt was the NFL rushing leader in 2017, and Chubb had the lead into the last game of the season last year when Derrick Henry overtook him with a 200-plus yard performance. But absolutely, how is Tennessee's defense going to stop the Cleveland run game, right? I don't see it that way. I think this game comes down to how the Cleveland's pass defense, right, stacks up. And can Ryan Tannehill get it done? Because they have a pretty good run defense. And you know Titans are built that way. I think, can Ryan Tannehill beat the Browns? And I think the Browns' defense, their secondary, can be exploited. And I think that Tannehill does it and wins the game. I like the Titans.
Rams at Cardinals.
This is a very tough one. Rams are favored on the road. I like Arizona, and I think it comes down to what I've been talking about. Like, who do you trust more? We talked about it on First Take. We debated it on First Take. I won, as always, and now we're talking about it on this show. And I'm winning, even though it's not a debate. So much winning, Raj. I think that what it, when it comes down to it, the Rams have much higher end defense, like capable of like the Bears. Like, ooh, if that Rams defense gets going, it's too much. Arizona's solid, but the Rams can be. They're capable of being special there. What it comes down to is if it's a close game, if it's a one possession game, I like Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins better. And I think that that's going to get it done. I think at home, Kyler Murray wins the game. So I like Arizona in a tough one.
Saints at Falcons.
Are you serious with this? The Saints are going to kill the Falcons. Next.
Saints at Falcons.
You really want me to talk about it? The Saints, the last, what, 3 or 4 weeks have had the best defense in the NFL. The Quan Alexander trade, it's not like a, he's not a, a flashy guy, you know, but he's a linebacker that's capable of doing a lot of stuff. And it really solidified their defense, which was already pretty good. And the Saints have been playing lights out defense. They're giving up single digits to teams, even teams with good offenses.
Max, so, are you worried at all that teams are figuring out Taysom Hill, though? I mean, the more you see of this guy, the more you kind of figure it out a little bit. You worried?
Yeah, but I just said it's the defense. Like, Taysom Hill has Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders and Alvin Kamara, and it's about the defense with this team right now. Saints are going to kill the Falcons. Next.
Giants at Seahawks.
Giants defense has been playing better and better as the season goes on. I think Joe Judge is showing promise as a rookie head coach. They don't have their quarterback. And Daniel Jones is a average, low average starter at this point, which is pretty good for a second-year player. But they don't have that guy. And the Seahawks are finding themselves again. Seattle also made a deadline pickup on defense that's worked out in Dunlap. Also has Jamal Adams and Bobby Wagner, who are high-end producers on the defensive end. And, of course, Russell Wilson's a top-three quarterback in the league. Seattle's going to beat the Giants handily. Also a home game for Seattle.
Patriots at Chargers.
Warren Sharp of Sharp Analytics. Rod, you know I shout him out on the air on First Take on the Max Kellerman Show. I'd shout him out on Max Unboxing if we talked football ever for whatever reason.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show, that's right. Friend of my various shows. It's a mismatch. It's a coaching mismatch. That's how Warren Sharp put it. It's a coaching mismatch. Anthony Lynn, one of the few African-American coaches in the league, his seat is burning hot because he's been a bad coach. How else can I put it? By the way, just because an African-American coach might lose his job, why shouldn't it be that also he can be replaced by an African-American coaching candidate, right? So because there is a racial issue in the NFL here. 32 jobs and very few African-American head coaches, even though the league is predominantly black, right? But nevertheless, I can't stop you being politically correct or sensitive to that issue from telling the truth. Anthony Lynn's a bad coach, bad head coach by NFL standards. Makes bad decisions at the end of games. His team has a bad record in spite of having a lot of talent, especially an ascending young
quarterback. 5-yard penalty. Max Kellerman.
Bill Belichick versus Anthony Lynn's a mismatch. Pats win.
Eagles at Packers.
Packers are going to kill the Eagles. The Eagles' defense played as well as they could, and Carson Wentz couldn't get it together. And finally, he wants to take some responsibility for the way the Eagles have been playing. Too little, too late. Day late and a dollar short, Carson Wentz. The Packers are going to stomp a mud hole in the Eagles. Packers big.
Broncos at Chiefs.
Well, if you thought what the Packers are going to do to the Eagles is not going to be fun to watch, or will be, depending on your point of view, you know what the Chiefs are about to do to Denver? And by the way, Denver can be a tough place to play, except they ain't playing in Denver. Kansas City is going to win the Super Bowl, and they will beat the Broncos handily.
Bills at 49ers.
49ers defense showed you what they can do, by the way. Even without Garoppolo, that team can be dangerous. They showed you against the Rams. And Whitworth, the Rams really missing him. The offense is not the same. He's a left tackle. I wanted the Giants to sign back when. And the Giants front office, well, he's too old. And all he's done is produce since then. You know, as soon as he got to L.A., the L.A. offense changed just like that. Like this. If you're watching on ESPN Plus, look at me. I'm snapping my fingers. Just like that. The offense changed when they got Whitworth. But he's out now. And the San Francisco defense showed you that they're capable of being competitive. San Francisco won the game. The Bills, however, not only can play defense, but they have a dynamic young quarterback. And I like the Bills' chances against the Niners. They will win. I think they'll cover too.
Colts at Texans.
Colts are on the road against a bad team. The Colts have been good this year, but Deshaun Watson has played better and better as the season has gone on. And I don't even know who's favored in this game, Raj, but I like the Texans to win it behind Deshaun Watson.
Good job, man.
Did I make up for time? Did I make up for time?
You did. You made up for time. You went early on a couple of them, but that's okay. But to answer your question on that, according to Caesar's Palace, the Colts are 3.5-point favorites on the road.
Well, right. Colts-Texans, not Colts-Bills. Yeah, I understand that because the Texans really are not very good. But every year, it seems, with Deshaun Watson, it's the same thing. Early on, when Bill O'Brien was there, it's like, oh, the hot seat and Deshaun, and they, oh, my God, Deshaun's regressing, or at least we can't see if he's progressing because they're not moving the pocket. They don't have an offensive. And by the end of the year, we're talking about Deshaun Watson again. Is he the best non-Patrick Mahomes quarterback in the league? I like the Texans in an upset there. Ethan in Colorado, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. Quick, Ethan.
I don't want Herbert, any of those guys. I want a combination of all three and circle my wagons around Josh Allen.
Why do you like Josh Allen so much? I mean, early on, he was having a great year, but he stumbled a couple times, and I don't see the kind of ability in the pocket that I see from Justin Herbert. What makes you like Josh Allen so much?
He's got a bazooka like Herbert.
He has a bazooka.
He can't run. As like Jackson, but he can run. He's got those few years. He's got those few years under his belt of figuring stuff out, like Watson being able to pick some defenses. He's getting better. So give me another year, and he's just going to go ballistic here pretty
soon.
I got to be honest.
Josh Allen is already better than I thought he'd ever be. He's already like a real good quarterback. Is he in that upper echelon? No, not yet. Maybe he's heading there. I think it's difficult to tell, or maybe this is as good as he'll get. If this is as good as he'll get, that's pretty good. I don't think it's Deshaun Watson. And I think where Herbert is heading is beyond Josh Allen. Herbert, to me, has next level kind of talent.
Max, the podcast.
Adam Schefter dropped some breaking news on the Raiders. I'm going to give it to you in a second. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I love the power I have, Raj, here on the radio. I have information that Schefter has.
I want to know. Tell me.
If only there was like a kind of a media that you could check this information for yourself.
That'd be great.
Fortunately, there's nothing like that around, so you're dependent upon me, and I can manipulate you into listening longer by not giving you the information yet. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection for more than vehicles with insurance expertise to keep your company moving forward. More at progressivecommercial.com. Okay, Adam Schefter. Raj, apparently they've invented something called Twitter. You can follow Adam Schefter at Adam Schefter, and you can get all this information there.
Yeah, I don't know if Twitter's caught on, though. I don't know if enough people.
Yeah, I think it's going to catch on. I think it's going to be the next big thing. Raiders head coach John Gruden said Josh Jacobs, the running back, of course, that was a good draft pick, Jonathan Abram, and Cleveland Farrell, not such a good pick. Remember they reached for Farrell in that draft? Are out for Sunday's game against the Jets. I don't care who's out for that game. Raiders are going to beat the Jets. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Jets are going to wind up ruining Trevor Lawrence's career, or maybe Justin Fields' career. They're going to ruin someone's career. It's where quarterbacks go to die. Cassell in Michigan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. I wanted your take on what should the Eagles do. Do you bench Wentz? Do you go with Hurts? Do you fire Doug Peterson? What do you do?
Yes, yes, and yes. Yes to all those questions. You bench Wentz, but you needed to bench him weeks ago. I suggested originally benching Wentz like 5 weeks ago, 4 or 5 weeks ago, because you have to hold him accountable. And I think about Donovan McNabb in that fifth NFC championship appearance, which he almost won. He was benched early in that season. He was held accountable to the team, came back, led them to the NFC championship game. Wentz needed the same treatment. He didn't get it. That organization below Jeffrey Lurie is obviously shook. because they think Wentz has a lot of power. And maybe he does. And that's Jeffrey Lurie's fault. Wentz isn't good. I told everybody he wasn't good last year. He went from great a couple years ago in 2017 to no good at the second half of last year. Everyone's saying how great he was. And he read his press clippings and he believed it. So you got to bench Wentz. You start Hurts not because it helps you win that game. Wentz is better than Hurts, I'm sure, right now. Or they would have already started Hurts. It's probably showing them nothing in practice. But you gotta bench Wentz. And Peterson's got to go. Peterson doesn't want to be there anymore. It's pretty obvious. By the way, Roseman's got to go too. GM. Lee in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, Max, I'm with you. I agree Kyler Murray has more upside than Goff, but I think there's no way they're beating him. Aaron Donald's going to disrupt Kyler Murray like crazy. And then the cornerbacks, Jalen Ramsey and Troy Hill, they're going to shut him down. I don't know if you've seen Troy Hill, but he is up and coming.
Now, listen, as I said, I talked about the game, started by saying the Rams remind me of Chicago in the sense that they are capable. Now, they don't always do it, but they're capable of playing the highest level defense. Like, they have talent on that defense that can do things other defenses can't. Like, I've been talking a lot about the Saints, but the Rams got guys that no one else has. And they can cover, they can pressure the quarterback, they can collapse the pocket, they can come around, they can rush off the edges, they can do a lot of stuff. But, you know, they didn't do that against San Francisco, did they? Or whatever they did wasn't enough. And Arizona has their backs up against the wall, and they're at home. I like Arizona in the upset. Mike in Missouri, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
How you doing, Max? I'm worried about that Mr. Claude Edwards-Helaire. Yep. He is feast or famine. Mm-hmm. I mean, last week, couldn't get anything. Thank goodness I had Tyreek Hill dropping 52 fantasy points for me, but... I'm sitting there. I love my Chiefs, but it's awful hard to keep someone that you either get a lot or you get nothing.
You know, it's interesting because Helaire was considered a dynamic weapon out of the backfield, right? He was supposed to, but catching passes, he was supposed to be a dynamic kind of weapon, but not like a run between the tackles kind of, you know, every down back type guy or like bell cow necessarily. And yet, that's how they started the season working Helaire. He had a nice workload and was more of a traditional back than a newfangled modern running back. But you're right, he's been hit or miss. I like the Chiefs running game. I like Helaire a lot. And I think that I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to win the Super Bowl partly because when teams try to defend against Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce as well as they can, Helaire's going to have room to do what he needs to do, and the Chiefs will win some lower-scoring games than expected. Will Harden still be a Rocket by Monday? Max Kellerman Show.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.